And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. My name is Dr. Morgan. It's a beautiful morning out there. There's mist and drizzle. It feels cool. What's not to like about that? Okay. It's just a matter of time before we get the next wave of COVID that comes out. Sometimes when you go to church and you notice there's only 30 people there instead of 150, you start to ask the question, I wonder why everybody's sick. Well, it's a real thing. Well, I came across an article that I found very impressive. It's almost like this is the article I've been waiting on, or the study. And, I thought I knew the year this was done. I should pay attention to these things, shouldn't I? Anyway, I came across this article. And it's so interesting to me. It's talking about people that are actually hospitalized that have a very significant case of COVID. See, this is not the form of COVID that you get to stay home and you just have a few aches and pains and after a few days you feel better. No, these are people that have to be placed in the hospital because they're so sick. And so when you get in the hospital, there's two choices. There's either a regular hospital bed, or you have intensive care. And it does not bode well to be in intensive care. You don't want to be in that kind of condition. So, depending on what your thought process is and how much you've studied this topic, you might start to ask the question, do viruses mutate? Do they change? Can they become more virulent? Can they affect us differently than what they did a year ago? Well, the answer is yes. Viruses do mutate. And sometimes that means there's a disaster for the person that gets that infection because it may do things that it didn't do a year ago, and they may be worse. Well, when I read studies and articles and observations, yes, the COVID virus is mutating. Well, the question is, what can I do to help myself? Well, I have interest in article that was published by the Pasteur Institute of Iran. And yes, I know it comes from Iran, but I thought to myself, Pasteur Institute? They're talking about Louis Pasteur. Such an interesting human being. I remember as a child, my mother would read me stories when I was very, very young. And one of them was about Louis Pasteur. And he was such an interesting human being. Now, you're probably thinking, is this the guy that came up with pasteurization? Yeah, kind of. Isn't he famous? Yes. Did he save millions of lives? Probably so. But he had his fair share of hardships and difficulties, which is another life lesson. But they had 190 COVID patients that had been hospitalized, and they tried something that was very interesting and very unique. They just tried giving them spirulina. Now, here's the title of the article. And I actually took the time to count the number of authors that signed their name on this study that was done. And there were 25 authors. The one name that I can pronounce, his name is Daniel Hackett. The rest of them are Arabic names that I probably would butcher every one of them. So it's interesting. Highly intelligent people, they signed off on the study, but here's the title of the study. It says, Effect of High-Dose Spirulina Supplementation on Hospitalized Adults with COVID-19, a Randomized Controlled Trial. And you're thinking, what's spirulina? Spirulina sometimes is called a blue-green algae. If you were driving down a country road and you saw like a green layer of pond scum, that would be an example of algae growing on top of a pond. I think more precisely, it's really a type of a bacteria called a cyanobacteria. What I found interesting when I looked it up, those algae or cyanobacteria, they literally generate about 50% of the oxygen that we have here on Earth. You know how human beings are bad, don't you? We produce CO2, carbon dioxide. Well, of course, plants use that to generate oxygen. It's so crazy. Anyway, Here's a study right here. In a publication published in Frontiers in Immunology, which is a very prestigious journal, the researchers explain how they experimented with 189 patients, all of whom were in the hospital with a very serious infection. I don't think I have to break down the definition of a serious infection, do I? Okay. They had SARS, COVID, type 2, COVID-19. About half of these 189 patients were hospitalized in the intensive care unit. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Who came up with this? I don't know, but I like it. The researchers gave half the patients in the ICU group and the non-ICU group 15 grams of spirulina every day. So if you're walking down the aisle of the health food store, or if you go to a grocery store where they have health products, or you go to the internet and go to Amazon.com or NutriCost, some website, and you type in spirulina, that's what we're talking about, okay? And so what they did was they gave 94 patients, that's about half of them. Half of those were in ICU, half of them were not. But they gave them 15 grams of spirulina. Okay, are you with me on that? So if I go just to the intensive care unit, 47 of those people in the intensive care unit, they did not get any spirulina. They just got the standard of care. They probably got budesonide, steroids, other drugs, maybe cough remedies, maybe a drug called remdesivir. So they didn't get the spirulina. But 47 people in the ICU did. Okay. Now, they did not have a placebo group in here. Okay. Because the other group of people, like I said, they got all the drugs that medicine uses to treat bad COVID. Okay. Now, listen to this right here. Here's the results. Here's the bottom line. None of the spirulina users in the non-ICU died, okay? These were the people that weren't actually in the intensive care. But of those that were just in regular hospital beds, and they didn't get spirulina, 9% died, okay? I don't think I like the sound of that, but that's about 5 people. Now, during the 7-week period, one small detail. They gave them 15 grams of spirulina every day for 7 days straight, from what I can tell. I tried to read the study to make sure I understood exactly what it said. So, for 7 days, that means Monday through Sunday, I should say Sunday through Saturday, they received 15 grams of spirulina. So, if you go online and you type in spirulina, maybe they'll have a large bottle that has a lot of small tablets in there. And if you look at the size of the tablet and it says it's 500 milligrams, you're thinking, how do I get to 15 grams? Well, if it's 500 milligrams, that would be 30 tablets a day. Oh, yeah, that's a boatload, all right. I suggest if you do that, drink plenty of water. Okay? So, the people were so sick, they had to stay in the hospital. I think you understand that. So over a 7-week period, 98% of all the people that had spirulina just for 7 days, that was 15 grams a day, 98% were able to get well and go home. How do you like them apples? Okay, among those that did not take spirulina, only 40% were able to go home after 7 weeks. Do you get that? That's a pretty huge number, folks. You tell me, is it better to be able to leave the hospital and go back to your home and finish your recovery and get back to your life? Or is it better to die? Well, goodness, you know the answer to that. So, now get this right here. This is another big one. So, in those that were in the intensive care, okay, that's the worst of the two. Nobody that took spirulina died. While 21% died in the other group, that was the group of people that did not get the spirulina. All they got was the budesonide or the steroids or the drugs or the remdesivir, stuff like that. Does that make sense? That means 10 people died. Folks, this is huge. This is kind of like a study that I've been waiting on for a while. I can't believe I just came across this. I think I saw this last Saturday. Anyway, they asked the question, how does this stuff actually work? And you know what? There's a lot of people, they want to know how things work. And if they can figure out how things work, they can go, ah, that's how it works. Now I know why I'm using it. How's it going to help me? So the researchers made mention that they felt like the spirulina actually activates the innate immune system and also the natural killer cells. These are very specific types of white blood cells that when you have enough of them and they work the way they're supposed to work, oh my goodness, they get after it. They start removing cancers from the body. They gobble up toxic bacteria. If somebody had a chronic bacterial infection, if you had a viral infection, they go after the virus. They also showed that when they gave them spirulina, all of a sudden there was a compound that began to rise in the bloodstream. It was called interferon type gamma. Have you ever heard of interferon before? Well, interferon is what helps the monocytes or the macrophages or the white blood cells eat cancers or tumors. A viral infection, a bacterial infection, a parasite. But the bottom line is they showed that the innate immune system is what was really activated by the spirulina. Now, I'm not trying to come across this morning. I know exactly the reason why it happened. But I tell you what, I'm making the observation by reading the study that it did happen. Your innate, that's your God-given immunity. And they're saying, the researchers go on to say that the innate immune system is the single most important line of defense that healthy people have against dying from infection or from cancers or tumors. Does that make sense? So what I want you to do is just prayerfully consider spirulina as maybe something that you could keep in your cupboard or your medicine chest or your arsenal just in case. You know, for all I know, you know somebody personally that's sick with COVID right now. And maybe you could just type into the computer spirulina and COVID-19 recovery. See what you come up with. I went to the computer and I just typed in the basic definition of the innate immune system. And this is what it said in Webster's Dictionary. The innate immunity is the host, that's you, your first line of defense. It's intended to prevent infection and attack from invading pathogens like a COVID-19 viral infection or a staph infection or strep throat or say somebody has food poisoning. Anyway, that is so interesting. Okay? If you have a question and you want to call me on the radio right now, there is a phone line officially open. And I've got my pencil and paper ready to go. I think you know me well enough. It's my normal habit to take notes while somebody calls because I want to. There's just something about writing that helps me figure things out and come to conclusions. And I'd like to help you solve whatever's going on. Who knows? I may be the first person that actually listens to you and talks to you about your health problems in a way where we can come to a conclusion. What are some things that you can do to help yourself? And you already know that I'm biased. I'm totally for things that are highly natural that don't do any harm to the body. I mean, that's not my goal. My goal is not to give you a drug that shrinks the tumor, but it kills the human being. So here's the phone number of the station right now. 903-589-8507. So if you want to call in, there's actually somebody calling the other number, but we'll go to this one right here. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This time of year, hay fever is a big issue. What can I do to mitigate or totally eliminate hay fever?
Okay, I have two articles in front of me. It's funny you should call about hay fever, but here's the first one. I just spoke about spirulina, but they showed when people took 2 grams of spirulina a day. So if you bought a bottle of spirulina, that would be 400-500 milligram tablets. But in this study, it was done for 26 weeks. And every week that the person took spirulina, their hay fever went lower and lower and lower, which means the longer they took it, the better their allergy response. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The other article, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's in my stack right here. They talk about the use of cod liver oil. And historically, that's been well known for like 100 years, that if somebody is really prone to hay fever or they have a problem with their immune system overreacting, then cod liver oil is one of the things you should consider. So if you start taking cod liver oil, I would expect that things would get better and better. Now, even though I don't have a study on this, I always think about vitamin C with bioflavonoids. If I had my wish right now, let's just say, now I know this year's been like a horrible year for hay fever and allergies, hadn't it?
Well, all the whole weeks and weeks of the nasty green pollen laying on everything, that doesn't bother me at all. It's after that's gone, right about now, that I'm usually having a problem.
What is it that you think you're reacting to?
I don't know.
Is it pine trees?
Pine trees are blooming. Pine trees are blooming, pollinating. Oak trees are blossoming. I really don't know.
But you feel like it's coming from a tree?
More than likely.
Okay. So I know this may not help you a lot right now, but if you will, next year, if you start taking cod liver, well, I think you should take cod liver oil every day.
We could
probably, oh, you do? How much do you actually take?
One capsule. I don't know what's in it.
I'm gonna tell you, one of the studies that I looked at, they took between 6 and 8 grams a day to get the best results.
Okay.
So that'd probably be, instead of one, that'd probably be starting at 6 a day.
Okay.
Which I know that's a boatload, but at least I'm giving you full disclosure. There's two or three other things that I really like a lot. You could always try what's called nettle tea. It's almost like kettle, but it's nettle with an N.
Uh-huh.
Now, actually, I haven't seen those yet, but it ain't going to take long till we start seeing bull nettles growing in the pastures, right?
Right.
Have you ever touched one of those?
I have. Just last week I touched one.
Oh, you
didn't
already
realize it until I touched it.
Well, really? How did you figure out you touched one?
it hollered at me right on my ankle.
Oh, boy. That's yeah, it's hard to escape that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, you could drink nettle tea, and in some people, that's the only thing I have to use, is just nettle. And now they also sell that in capsule form. It should be like a pretty cheap herb, because it's like you said, you've already run into one on your ankle last week.
Yeah.
You could actually make your own if you have a food dehydrator. Just cut the plant, put it in there, dry it up, crush it up, put it in capsules and swallow it, if you wanted to.
Okay.
The other thing that I like a lot is bee pollen.
Yeah.
Bee pollen is one of the greatest ways to help sensitize your body against allergies. You're just looking for the loose granules. So if you have a friend that raises bees for a living, you could say, hey, what can I do to get a hold of some bee pollen from you? All you have to do is say, please, I'll give you all you want.
Okay.
So those are two or three things that you can look at. Another one, I know I keep adding to the list. You know what I think is a substance that tends to be like a cure-all? And I hope I don't come across as trying to like over-exaggerate, but the more I read about this, I start thinking this stuff can cure just about anything. It's called black cumin. You ever heard of black cumin?
No, we use a lot of cumin, but not black cumin.
Sometimes it's called black cumin. Other times on the label will be called black cumin seed oil. A lot of times in America, we shorten things up and just call it black seed oil. You ever heard of black seed oil?
No.
Well, you might want to look into that. Okay. Because they do have studies. I have a really nice book at the house that goes through research, and that's kind of what I like to look at. Because I want to have confidence, like, okay, how do I fix this problem here? What natural medicine could be used? But black cumin seed is just one of those things that in some people, it literally could make the allergies disappear and go away.
Well,
I hope
nice.
It doesn't sound like I'm trying to promise you the moon, the stars right now.
No. Yeah.
And there are other studies that show that there's a common herb that improves circulation called ginkgo biloba. And some people, that can do it. Yeah. But black cumin seed, What would that hurt if you just took one capsule or one tablet of black cumin seed, and all of a sudden your body was just functioning better within about a week? That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
That would probably be acceptable.
You mean acceptable to you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm rooting for you. So if you will look into that, see what you come up with. But black cumin seed, that kind of pops in my head is a serious application for hay fever and for allergies.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
you betcha. I hope that helps a lot.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Thank you much. Bye-bye. Okay, the phone line is open again. If you have a question, if you want to call in, the number is 903-589-8507. Black cumin seed is just one of those very interesting natural remedies that you come across just every so often. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, I have developed, I believe, shingles on the right side of my chest.
Okay, is it on the front or the back or wrapping around?
It's on the back or the side. The right side.
Can I just start spewing forth information?
Sure.
Okay. One option that you have is actually, if you'll call my office, I'll tell you what the real remedy is to fix it. I just don't know that I want to say it on the air, but it's free. It's free. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Anyway, so one option that you have, you can always try applying what's called raw honey to it. Just maybe have your husband take a butter knife and butter it on there. He doesn't have to be a butter knife. You know what I mean. Just any way that you can apply it on there. And see if that starts to take some of the pain out of it. The thing that you need to consider as far as what could you do as far as a supplement, and most likely, if I were just guessing right now, I'd say that you've had a pretty stressful week that probably weakened your body. Could that be correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so anything that contains thymus and spleen extract, to me, that's one of the greatest remedies of all time when you're wanting your immune system, once it's been beat up, to rise to the occasion and do its job to beat back this viral infection.
Okay. All right.
There was a study that I read this week, and it has nothing to do with you, but it showed that women that use a drug called Flonase, they have some of the highest rates of shingles breakout. You probably don't use Flonase, do you?
No, sir, not at all.
Well, and I know that's kind of a waste of time, but to me it's interesting. You're going, okay, you can give this drug for allergies, but what does it produce? Shingles. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Right. So there's a supplement called Conjuplex. That's probably the easiest one that I know of. But with shingles, you probably have to take somewhere between 25 and 30 capsules a day.
Okay.
I know that sounds almost comical, but you're trying to give enough fuel to the immune system to help it do its job.
Okay.
And if you'll call me at the office right now, I'll go check my lines real quick after I get off the program, and I'll tell you what the real remedy is, okay?
Okay. I did leave a message on Friday, so you have a message on there from Friday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Uh-huh.
I haven't caught that yet.
It was late. So, do I need to call your office again?
Maybe, just in case.
Okay. All right.
Because I went to the office this morning. I didn't see that. So, if I missed it, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I caught you.
You got me now.
I do.
Oh, well, okay. I feel so bad for you. I'm going to say a prayer for you that God looks upon you with great favor and mercy and blesses you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I guess you'll have to tell your husband, and he'll have to cook all the meals from here on out. I'm just joking. Okay, the number... Actually, shingles is bad. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I don't want anybody to suffer that way. So what do you do once you have it? Well, you try to help your body respond as efficiently as possible. So the number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Let me give you that number one more time. 903-589-8507. Okay. So, next one right here. I could probably, let's go with the phone lines first. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning and thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got a current problem that probably many people don't have, but they probably come up with it sometimes. I just had a tooth extracted, and the dentist said that I needed to take an antibiotic, and he prescribed penicillin. What can I do to, when I finish taking the penicillin, to rectify any problems that it has given me?
Well, this may sound unusual the way that I'm going to promote this, but I'd say number one, if you tried a technique that's called oil pulling, usually you use unprocessed sesame seed oil, and you swish it around your mouth gently, but that's one of the ways that you start pulling out toxic residue from anywhere around the tooth extraction. And I realize that doesn't directly answer your question, but the answer to your question is probably, if you could go to the store and purchase either raw sauerkraut or probably my favorite, which is called kimchi, which is kind of like the South Korean version. I started to say North Korean, but they probably don't have enough cabbage to even make kimchi out of. So kimchi is a fermented form of Napa cabbage. They also have chilies in there. They have ginger, garlic. What else do they have? But it's just one of the best probiotic ways that you can encourage the growth of good, friendly, healthy bacteria. You could eat a forkful or two a day for the next 6 months and be in better shape than what you were beforehand. Does that Great. Make sense?
Yes, sir. It does. And I quite regularly eat the raw refrigerated sauerkraut.
Just do it every day. Yeah.
Take it with meals or separate from meals?
I'll take it either way. Sometimes I like it if people just take a forkful before they go to bed and call it good. So as long as you consistently do it. The other thing that you could do if you wanted to is you could take a commercial available probiotic. That would be something that you'd probably get at the health food store. And if you took a couple of capsules of that, you're trying to help counter what the antibiotic does to all the good beneficial bacteria that you have in your body.
Okay.
Another thing that you might think of is there's a type of algae that grows in the saltwater ocean. It's called chlorella. Chlorella is such an interesting one, but you may have to start out with small amounts, but that's one of the ways that you can reestablish good flora in the gut. Of course, I'm also a fan of consuming every day apple cider vinegar, and I like the kind that says on the label it contains the mother, which means it has the culture of all the beneficial microbes and bacteria. You can see them in the sediment at the bottom of the bottle. You know how it looks brown and dirty at the bottom?
Right.
So you could do that every day. Study after study shows that some of the best foods to reestablish good bacteria in the body once you've had an antibiotic are usually avocados, sweet potatoes, cabbage, onions, garlic. Those are phenomenal. And you probably like those anyway, don't you?
Except for the onions.
Well, okay, 3 out of 4 is not bad. So you can stick with the other ones, but avocados are one of the best ones of all time when you're trying to grow a bunch of new beneficial microbes and bacteria.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank
good
you.
Deal.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
God bless you.
Thank Bye. You very much. God bless you. Bye-bye. All righty, there's a phone line once again open, 903-589-8507. Okay. Let me propose an idea to you. And you tell me if this sounds logical, if it makes sense, if it's something that you can consider. But what I want to say is, as a human being ages, it literally becomes more difficult to provide enough nutrients to the cells if you just eat what you ate when you were 20. Hang on, we got a phone call here. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Moran, I have back spasms, and I need to know what I can do for that.
Are they in the lower back?
in the middle.
In the middle? Do you by chance have swelling around your ankles or your feet?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you drink soft drinks at all? Like Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper? I think we lost the signal. Sorry about that. Anyway, let me have a go at it, even though I lost the phone signal. That's just the way cell phones are. It happens to me all the time. Anyway, so if you have back spasms, let's just try to look at a logical way that we can kind of attack this. One thing that I would recommend, since I don't really know how bad they are, I'm going to assume they're pretty doggone annoying and we want to get rid of them. What I would recommend that you do is maybe for about 15 minutes at the end of every day, why don't you just sit on the floor? Maybe you've got a television program from the History Channel that you're looking at, or you have something that's very educational that's not going to get you all wound up and stressed out. What if you were to sit on the floor and just start doing some lower back stretches? And you're probably thinking, well, what stretches do I do? If you were to go to the website called YouTube and just type in, how do I stretch my back before I go to bed at night, you're going to come up with a ton of videos, and maybe you could just watch and visually look at those videos and figure out, okay, I can do these right here. But that's usually what's happening when you have spasms. You're just not getting enough oxygen and blood flow to those muscles. And so what we want to do is we want to try to stretch and alleviate a lot of that horrible tension that you have. Another thing that's very, very good is just massaging that area. Instead of using commercial available lotions, I just think that extra virgin olive oil is the way that you want to go. It's so good for the body. And plus, if you leave it on after you have somebody like work the knots out, massage them out, remove the tight, ropey knots in the muscles, let the body just drink it up and soak it in. Okay? The other thing that I need to cover is when you have middle back pain and spasms, you've got to think about how hydrated is a person. And like anything else, there's an optimal level of hydration. One of the things that you could try very simply, and I kind of realize I'm looking at the technology of the brand called Gatorade, but really it makes sense. I have a book called Molecular Biology, but they talk about what is the perfect circumstance to help get water into your cells so they can be well hydrated. And so what I want you to think of is a muscle cell. It either has too little water, which means it's dehydrated, or it has the Goldilocks just right amount of water. And if your cells are well hydrated, they actually do what they're supposed to do. They have a good resting tone. But man, if your muscles become dehydrated, or your skin does, or your body, everything starts to draw up. You're most prone to having pain when you're dehydrated. It actually doesn't take much dehydration to cause great fatigue. It really doesn't. So, if you took, and I'm going to say this a couple different ways, but let me start out with the easy one. What if you measured out about a half of a gallon of water? Maybe you have a pitcher, maybe you have a jar, maybe you have a half a gallon jar. What if you filled that with water and you took some frozen Concord grape concentrate? That is usually going to be found where they have the frozen fruit section. You know, those glass doors where you open them up and in there you've got the frozen blueberries, strawberries. They may even have mangoes, cherries, raspberries, blackberries, stuff like that, where people could make smoothies or have instant fruit salad. You know what I mean. But they have those cans of frozen grape Concord concentrate. It's like a dark purple. They haven't pasteurized it. That's why they have to keep it frozen and good. So it still has what I'd call life force, and it has a viable energy source to it. But what if you put about a half of a can of that frozen grape concentrate into that half a gallon of water, and then on top of that, you added maybe 2 teaspoons of a good form of salt. And you realize salt is minerals, but it's minerals that contain electrolytes. The bottom line is every cell in your body is like a solar-powered battery that generates 3.9 volts of electricity, and to get your body back into a good balance, we got to make sure that we hydrate all your cells. And so, what if you stirred up 2 teaspoons of pink Himalayan salt, or if you used Redmond sea salt, maybe use the one called C90. There's a bunch of them you can use. Did I mention pink Himalayan salt yet? You know I'm only joking about that. But if you made your daily practice for about a week, saying, I am going to rehydrate my body to see if I can get well, well, that would be a pretty good one to do. Drink that half gallon of your own homemade Gatorade every day and see if things don't go better. Also, on top of that, I'm a huge fan of cod liver oil and magnesium when it comes to spasms. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Doc, I've got a sister that's got, she's in the hospital. She's got blood clots in her lungs. Is there any way to dissolve blood clots?
Well, she's in the hospital, which means she's under medical care, and they're going to use clot-busting drugs there. Now, if this
And I've got the names of those drugs in my office, and they all have bad side effects. It's worse than the condition.
Well, what I want to do is, let's talk about how do we get her blood to flow and not be so sticky. So I'd say, number one, we've got to start hydrating her. So just that very thing I discussed about making the homemade Gatorade with grape juice and salt and water, man, that would be like a godsend. If you wanted to take like the juice of 2 lemons and squeeze it in there, that would be even better. If you wanted to put a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in there, that would probably make it even more potent and better. And all these things act like a solvent. You're trying to break up sticky, gunky debris that's in the blood. Now, historically, there are medical studies that demonstrate that there's an herb called hawthorn that is very, very good at breaking up clots.
Very good.
Let me give you one more idea. Have you ever heard of a substance called enzyme or an enzymes?
I'm not sure that I have.
Well, a long time ago, there was a story about men that fought in a full contact karate tournament. I have decided as of right now that I'm not built to go into a full contact karate tournament against Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. Would you agree with that? You don't want to do that either, do you?
I certainly ain't. I'm 87 years old.
So what they did was they had some of the men in the tournament that were competing, and you know what a full contact, that means no holds barred. They're going to punch you and kick you, right?
That's right.
I mean, of course, they have some rules, but they're not using gloves and they're not covered in pads. It's going to be striking to try to defeat your opponent. But what they did in this study was they used an enzyme called Wobenzyme N. It comes from Germany. But all it is just proteolytic enzymes. And they had the men take some enzymes right before they competed in the tournament. And they showed that the men that competed in the tournament with the... they took the enzymes, they had almost no contusions, no bruising, they had no horrible bloody patches on their face. Compared to men that didn't take the enzymes, they looked like they were beat up for 2 weeks. And so one of the things, if you have a very difficult situation and you really do not know what to do, this would be a great time to take proteolytic enzymes, whether they're pancreatic enzymes or plant-based enzymes or animal enzymes. If you take enzymes on an empty stomach, meaning there is no food in your stomach or nothing except water, those enzymes are going to pass through your stomach and they're going to get to the bloodstream, and they're going to start breaking down anything that doesn't belong in the body. So in a roundabout way, it is the job in a roundabout way to... the immune system has to resolve anything that doesn't belong, whether it's a clot or something else. So that would be called enzyme therapy, taking enzymes on an empty stomach for the purpose of it cleaning up the body. If you told me that you felt horrible and you had horrible swelling in your legs, What would it hurt for you to take a handful of enzymes and swallow them on an empty stomach and see if within a couple hours all that swelling went away?
Wouldn't hurt a thing.
No. I mean, it's really incredible God's design of the human body. Under the right circumstances, it can do amazing things, and sometimes we don't give it the credit to do that. So the other thing that we should do is you can always tell your sister if she can have somebody rub castor oil over the area of the body where they have the blood clots. That's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to mess with her therapies at all. How old is your sister, by the way?
She's be 77.
Oh, so she's your baby sister.
No, I got two younger than her.
Oh, I just made an assumption. Okay, where does she live right now?
Arlington.
As in Arlington, Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I sure am rooting for her.
And I'm in your health study class every time you have one.
Yes, you are. You're very faithful. Thanks for coming.
I appreciate all the help I get from it.
You're sure welcome, buddy. I appreciate your phone call. Let me know what happens with your sister.
I'll do that.
Okay, thank you much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you would like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line once again open at 903-589-8507. If you were to take a handful of, I shouldn't say it that way, if you were to take several capsules of enzymes when you had food in your stomach, well, then most likely, that's all the enzymes would work on. They would work at splitting and breaking apart and digesting the food to make it more available. So that's why I discussed there's a different strategy. That would be the use of enzymes or the therapeutic use of enzymes on an empty stomach. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan. My husband, he has, what do you call that? It's like a ringworm fungus. And I was wondering if the things you mentioned earlier for the virus would be good on that, or do you have some other
Where exactly is the fungus located?
It's really kind of spread. It was last year he had it, and it had like a ring around it. But this year it's more like a dry patch of skin, and it's all over his upper body. But I
really?
Think even on his arms, yes.
Is he like a real active guy?
Well, sort of, yes.
Well, and the only reason I say that is because usually when oxygen levels have been lowered in a human, that's where fungus tends to take over. So does he like to go for like long walks and say, sweetheart, I'm going to go for my 3-mile walk today?
Well, I wouldn't say that, no, but he does have lowered oxygen because he has other things.
Well, that was really I wasn't trying to be critical at all. All I was just saying is where oxygen levels are lower. So, I mean, we got to come up with a way to try to increase oxygen, because where oxygen is very rich, fungus doesn't seem to do so good at growing, kind of like cancer cells. They don't do well where there's a lot of oxygen.
Okay.
Well, is he able to exercise every day on some level?
Yes, he works. I mean, he's physical in his work.
Okay, that counts. So,
yeah.
Does he have like an exercise bicycle or a treadmill or something like that?
No, he does not have that.
In addition to his work, does he ever go for walks just to get more oxygen in the blood?
Well, I would say more about just like working in the yard and that kind of thing.
Yes, and I think what I'm really referring to is something where your heart rate and your blood flow really speeds up for a longer period of time, as opposed to just a short burst here and there. Anyway, just consider that, because what you're doing is you're trying to greatly enhance oxygen. Well, let me approach it this way, and I have two or three ideas if I can share them with you.
Okay.
All right. There is a substance in nature that's called baking soda.
Yes.
In a roundabout way, I think just a little bit of baking soda can help change his the pH of his body chemistry from more of an acidic environment, which when your body is really acidic, that's when fungus grows on the skin.
Okay.
And so what we want to do is we want to help his body chemistry become more alkaline. And yes. So baking soda, it's not a cure-all, but it's like so inexpensive, it's so cheap. I don't think I've ever heard of a story where somebody took a half of a teaspoon or maybe a teaspoon of baking soda, stirred it in a cup of water, and then had to be rushed to the emergency room because they had a toxic reaction. I've never heard that before.
Right.
No one's ever said, hey, you messed me up, Dr. Morgan, with the baking soda. But if he started doing baking soda every day, this will start to change his pH. The other thing that I'm really interested in,
right,
man, if I could talk him into eating like a dark green salad a day to try to make his body more alkaline, I think that'd be like a really good call if he could do that. And of course, I would recommend that he avoid, you know, junk food and sugar, because all that's just high, high acid food. And when you have high acid, that's when you get all the infections and all the cancer and all the problems, all the diseases. So I say meat and vegetables and salad. If you need something sweet, we could call it raspberries or strawberries or blueberries, that sort of thing. Do you think he would be okay with that?
Yes, those are all great ideas. And
what about the idea of taking a washcloth and just dipping it in straight apple cider vinegar?
Okay.
And wiping down every square inch of his skin.
Okay.
Almost like good. You're just taking a washcloth and you're giving yourself a light apple cider vinegar bath. I mean, sure, he's going to smell like vinegar, but from what I can tell, most people find that very attractive.
Right.
I do that on Sunday morning before I go to church. I bathe my body in vinegar, and I still don't understand why people don't sit close to me while I'm in church.
Right.
It's almost like there's a 20-foot circle around me. I don't even understand that.
Yeah.
And so follow. So after he does that, that's where you might want to use something called unfiltered extra virgin olive oil.
Okay.
And so when you pour a little bit of that in your hand, you look at it and you go, hey, this is kind of like a yellow-green color. And I'm going, yeah, good. It contains chlorophyll. So olive oil, when it comes in that organic, unfiltered form, it actually has nutrients that your husband's skin is going to start drinking up. And the skin is so interesting. Do you realize if you put like, I started to say oil of Olay, I don't know why I'm saying that, just as an example maybe. You're going to soak up probably 70% of all the chemicals that are artificial in that lotion.
Okay.
You don't even have to worry about that if you use what's called extra virgin olive oil. Let his skin drink that up. Excuse me. I probably haven't had enough water this morning. But if you can get his skin just to soak up all the goodness and the nutrients and the beneficial properties of the olive oil, we can start to rejuvenate and rebuild his skin.
Okay. That sounds good.
So those are some things. The other thing that I would look at, I really do think that fungus, it's a very opportunistic organism. So if he does not eat a lot of sugar, he's creating an environment for his body to heal if he just gives it up. If it were me, I would really look into taking some garlic just to see what happens with his skin. So if I kind of gave you a running list of what I like for fungus in the body, I like a substance called lactic acid yeast. Those are little wafers that you can buy. They're relatively cheap. And when you chew them up, guess what they do? They start eating fungus and killing it and digesting it and getting rid of it. So you poop it out. I know that sounds kind of graphic. I don't mean to be crude, but you're just trying to help clean the body of fungus. There's another herb that I think is actually a vegetable. It's called Spanish black radish. If I could just tell you story after story of all the people that I've seen that responded so well to Spanish black radish, it is so good at helping to gently clean all the waste and debris from the body. That's probably what I should have told you. When the human body builds up too much debris and waste, that's where fungus starts growing, because it's like a garbage collector. If we clean out all the garbage, there'll be no reason for fungus to grow. So Spanish black radish is a really, really good one. I'd be hard-pressed not to recommend, and you can do this any way you want. If you tell me he likes cloves of garlic added to food, do it. Maybe Saturday can be heavy garlic day. We can overdose him on garlic to see if we can drive the evil, wicked fungus from the body.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. he likes the taste of garlic, so maybe him.
Yeah.
Go over there soon.
Now, can I just ask your personal opinion? I'm not asking you to be critical or judgmental, but can you think of anything that maybe your husband does habitually that may not be in his best interest?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What would you say that is, just in vague generality? I'm not trying to nail you down to it. What is one or two things that he needs to change to improve his health?
Okay. Dip. He puts a dip in his mouth.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that. Is there anything else he does? Does he have like a habit of drinking like Mountain Dews all day long?
No, but he does like a sugary coffee drink.
Yeah. Well, and that's probably one thing that I would try to get him to give up also. I'm not really against the coffee, but I'm against the sugary coffee stuff.
Right. It's the flavorful kind that they sell at those drive-thrus, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're literally everywhere. We actually have another coffee shop coming to Jacksonville. It's just unbelievable. We got Starbucks on one side of the road. Now they're going to have 7B on the other. And it's just... Evidently, the American appetite for flavored coffee is just unsatisfied, so we have to build more coffee shops.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you ever think about how much the world has changed over the last 50 years?
Oh, my.
It's just 5 years. Yes, ma'am, you're right. Whatever happened to pencils and paper and just drinking water?
Yes.
Do you know what water tastes like when it comes out of the water hose because you never go in the house all day long?
Not from the water hose, no.
Well, I guess when you grew up in the 60s, you drank out of the water hose.
Yeah.
So, yes, those are, and you know what? Here's really what's happening. This fungus is growing. His body is crying out, saying it needs help. And the question is, what are we going to do differently? Now, personally, if it were me, I would have him take his shirt off and just sunbathe if he could. And that can help strengthen the skin.
Okay.
But what he eats is going to be of primary importance. Do you know why they call vitamin A vitamin A? It's because it's the anti-infection vitamin.
Okay.
And so every lining of the body, whether it's the external skin or the inner lining of your gut, all of it requires vitamin A just to make sure your skin doesn't have an infection. And so, for example, if you ate liver and onions every day, not every day, maybe once a week, that would give you a boatload of vitamin A. Or if you took cod liver oil, that could be some significant source of natural vitamin A.
Okay.
And all these things are to strengthen the skin to where it's more resilient and it's healthier.
Okay, that's great. Great
so
idea.
Those are ideas.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I hope that really helps your husband a lot. I bet he's a great guy.
Yes, he is. And he's doing some of these things based on your recommendations anyway, so you can just add more of these.
Well, you know, even just doing one thing like the apple cider vinegar and the olive oil, that's just a vote to help. You're blessing your skin.
Yes, absolutely.
And actually, don't tell him I said this, but all this stuff on the outside, it's a reflection of what's really going on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what this really means? This means his immune system is just too weak. It's too run down. It's exhausted. The body should never allow a fungus to grow on the skin. And so just kind of like work that. Tell him that you love him and that you need him. He doesn't need to leave this earth sooner than he should. He's got work to do. He's got a purpose in living. So... We need to find a way to clean him up from the inside out and get him stronger. I want him to have tremendous vitality.
Yes. Well, last year he went to the dermatologist who gave him an antifungal medicine. And that thing, after like 3 or 4 days, almost killed him. So
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's that drug for the fungus is about the worst thing. If you want to totally destroy a human being's liver, it'll do it.
Yeah.
Do I come across as sounding harsh by saying stuff like that? I think I'm just being reasonable. All those antifungal drugs, they are the most wicked poison. Who out there would say, Dr. Morgan, I'm going to go to Home Depot today and I'm going to drink a glass of Roundup?
Right.
No, you're going to die if you do that. And those antifungal drugs, I can't think of a drug that is going to shorten a human being's life like those do.
Well, they even told us that he was supposed to take it for 30 days.
And he did it with a straight face, too, didn't he?
Right. And and they said, but if you take it for over 40 days, it could kill your liver.
Oh, like, so 30 days is okay, but 40?
40?
Yeah. This is like...
Stupid.
I mean, isn't this the craziest conversation of all time? Now, sir, yeah. If you do it for 40 days, it will not be like the rain on the... Well, you will die like at Noah's Ark. Okay, yeah. That's crazy.
It was very crazy. So,
and that's the only option they offered him, too. Isn't that true?
Yes, that is.
He did not say, now listen, this is all because you have trashed the inside of your body. All your organs are weak. We've got to clean up your gut. You know, it's really the job of the liver to keep the skin in good working order. Your liver keeps all the skin under surveillance 24 hours a day, trying to make sure that you get the nutrients that you need. But if your liver is sluggish or you got a fatty liver, it can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole thing is bizarre. I think I've told you before, my father used to be a drug salesman for 30 years.
Yes.
We used to own a Rexall pharmacy in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. So I understand, but I still remember back in the 80s when I was in college, all my pharmacology professors would say, now, Roy, you got to remember, drugs are only for very, very short term until we can get the body back in good working order. Then they don't need the drugs. Well, do you hear that philosophy preached by all the pharmacists today? Do you?
No.
Well, I mean, I think pharmacists are great, but we've lost the idea. When your body's not in good working order, we need to try to get it back in good working order and heal the body instead of just relying on drugs. Like, now, if you take this for 30 days, it may cure you, but at 40 days, it may kill you.
Right. Right.
Oh, my goodness. I hear stories like this all the time. I still am just flabbergasted by them.
Me too.
Well, thank you. You're such a great woman taking good care of your husband.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I've got a plan. You can go to the hardware store today, and they sell chloroform. What you do is you pour some on a cloth, and you sneak up behind him, and then when he's passed out, you handcuff him to the, let me see, what can we handcuff him to? How about a hospital bed?
Maybe.
And then he won't be able to get his Copenhagen or coffee drinks. What do you think about that?
Right. Yeah.
Another brilliant plan I've come up with. I'm sure he won't be upset. He probably won't say, can I have the keys to these handcuffs, sweetheart?
No, not at all.
Anyway, I wish you the very best. Tell your husband I'm rooting for him, and I'll do anything I can to help him.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this Saturday morning. I hope I've said something that has been a golden nugget or a pearl of information that you can in turn use to help yourself or your loved ones. And you know, I was joking about the chloroform. They don't really sell it at the hardware stores anymore. Rats. I wish they did. That's what they used to use for anesthesia 150 years ago. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful church service tomorrow morning.